inside job dealing with church hurt. We're going to take several weeks looking at church hurt. Churches destroy themselves from the inside, not the outside. You know, we can act real spiritual and try to blame it on the world. That's a lie. Churches destroy themselves from the inside, not the outside. Usually if a church has major problems, it's that church's fault. Those people inside that building, it's their fault. It's their problem. You might say, well, why are you doing a series like this? Well, A, it's Bible. I like to teach the Bible. And I think it's appropriate for us at this stage in our church ministry. We're about 3.5 years old. It's really important that we don't get too big for our britches, stuck on ourselves. We need to realize we need to be on the floor before the Lord, humble. And we need to see some of these problems. And when we see those problems coming, say, you know what? I ain't going there. I don't even want to do that. I don't want to be a part of that whatsoever. Y'all hear me today? Let's praise the Lord on that. Come on. Don't want none of that. And that's what we're doing. Okay? So this is a hard-hitting series. I'm also doing this series, honestly, believe it or not, even though it's going to sound mean, I want to do it to help you. I want you to be healed. I want you to be healed. I'm not talking about a physical healing. I'm talking about a spiritual healing. I want your heart, if it's been broken because of church hurt, church pain, church problems, church this, church that, how long are you going to carry that stuff? You know what? I'm the biggest one probably in here with that baggage. You know what I'm saying? So this is messages to me. God's working on me. Clark, how long are you going to carry that stuff? So I'm trying to let go, amen? Trying to let go, and I'm trying to bring some of y'all with me. And let's get it done. Inside job, dealing with church hurt. I didn't ask Ron yet, but I did ask Joe, are you famous around town yet? These are guys right in our church. Don't they look friendly? Come on in. We'll treat you nice. Sure, sure. I tell you what, it's terrible, these guys. Anyway, a lot of fun. Let's keep moving. Today we're going to talk about this right here. Can you see this woman right here? These two girls, what they doing? They doing what? They gossiping. I tell you what, that woman looks like right there, she's about to kill somebody. You better watch who you talk about. I tell you right there, you're going to make somebody mad. Keep looking. Got to fly. Gossip, going to talk about it today. Warp speed. Satan is pictured as a cartoon character. Can you say that with me? Satan is pictured as a cartoon character. Look at the little sucker. Okay, he has horns, he's got a long tail, he's got a pitchfork, and he's dressed in red underwear. All right? That's how we picture Satan, and we think that's the way Satan is. Keep looking. Peter says this, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the who? Devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. You know, emphasis there on roaring lion. Okay? Satan can't destroy you if you're a child of the living God, but he can sure make a lot of noise. He can make a lot of noise, and he can cause us to self-destruct, okay? A lot of racket the sucker makes. Peter says he is our adversary. Okay, keep moving. He is clever, certainly. Satan is very dangerous, and we're going to look at how he does the inside job on churches. The Bible doesn't speak much about Satan's power. It does speak some of Satan's power. There's no doubt about it, but not much. You know what the Bible does talk about Satan about? It talks about his subtlety, his trickery, his deceptiveness. He is a liar, right? Say, that's what it talks about Satan. And so you don't have to fear his power, but certainly we need to be aware of his ways and the way he works and the way he destroys lives and destroys churches. Inside job. That's what he does. Satan is of the spirit world. Several things. He knows your weakness. He knows your weakness. Satan is not all-knowing. He is not God. He doesn't have those characteristics. But he knows your weakness. You know what I'm saying? A ball coach can look at the opposing team's games and you can exploit their weakness. You can start to learn their weaknesses. Well, Satan's had a lot of practice, amen? He's been reading a lot of mail, okay? So he knows your weakness. He understands your infirmities. He uses them to gain an advantage on you. We're headed somewhere, so stay with me. He exploits weaknesses to do this, to discredit, to discourage, to disappoint, to disillusion, and ultimately to defeat you. That's what he's all about. Okay, he wants to exploit weaknesses in our church ministry, in our lives, in our families. Satan isn't a cartoon character, friend. Are you hearing me today? Say. But he is so clever. That just the little red man with the little horns, the little suit, the little pitchfork, that just goes right back to his character. I'll fool them by making them think I'm no big deal. Okay? So it just goes right back to who he is. He is deadly. Let's keep looking. Satan is diabolical. Can you say that with me? Satan is diabolical. Why do we want you to know that? I want you to see some scripture. 1 Timothy 3:11. Even so must their wives be grave, not what? The word is diabolical. In the Greek, it's diabolos. Okay? Slanderer. Next verse. Just another one. Titus 3:2. To speak evil. Guess somebody just take a wild guess what that Greek word is. Diabolos. Same word for devil. Let's keep looking. What are we going to see? Diabolical. The word slanderer, also false accuser in your New Testament, one that speaks evil, it is the word, the same Greek word, diabolos, is the same Greek word for devil. What does that mean? What does that mean? When I slander, when I false accuse, when I use my mouth to gossip and run people down, I'm acting just like the devil. Are y'all getting the, you reading that? Say, got it? Say. Well, I don't, it's the same word. The word for devil, same word for false accuser, slanderer, gossiper. It's devilish, and we're going to look at it today. Satan's number one weapon of choice for the inside job. His number one weapon of choice for the inside job to destroy ministry is gossip. That's his number one weapon. Now look at it. Look at this. Roger, put this gun together. I mean, Satan has his sights set right on the church. He's all about destroying church. Are you hearing me today? Say. That's what he's about. And his number one weapon is gossip. So it was just necessary that we had to talk about it. All right. So here we go. Let's see what we got. The other day, I always get up in the morning. I eat breakfast with my wife. We usually go to a restaurant. We usually go to Bob Evans and South Venice, quite frankly. But we'll go other places. Sometimes we walk and we'll get a bite to eat. And we always try to sit down, spend time together, read the paper a little bit. And that's what we do. And I just love that, spending time with her. And the other day I'm reading the paper, and here's what I come across in the paper. Here it is. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I end ministries set up by God. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartaches, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make headlines, headaches, and heartaches. I make innocent people cry in their pillow. Even my name hisses. I am gossip. Okay? Ooh, it's ugly, ain't it? Why in the world would we want to do anything like that? Say, why would we want to have anything to do with all that mess I just read? That's Satan's tactics. Little red suit, the little horn, the pretty little red underwear. Gossip. Cartoon. Keep looking. James 3, the Bible says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. It's set on fire. The course of nature, it's set on fire of hell. Verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So God's trying to help us, isn't he? He's trying to remind us. He's trying to say, church, wake up. Come on. Do it right. Something else about Satan, he wants you to feel inferior. That's what Satan wants you to feel. He wants you to feel inferior. He wants you to feel inadequate, okay? But now let me tell you what Satan really loves. He loves using you and me to make others feel inferior and feel inadequate. And that's why we use our mouths. He loves using us to make other people feel inferior and inadequate, for us to put people down. Gossip. Roger did a great job putting it right down the middle of the aisle of the church. Amen? It'll ruin it, won't it? Say. Split it, tear it up, cause all kinds of problems. It'll make it a place where you'd rather do anything but go there. Okay? And we don't want that place to become that. Amen? We're like, I'm not very good at taking care of, I'm getting better at taking care of my health and stuff, especially after I get sick. But anyway, but you know, that preemptive stuff that you need to do, you know what I mean? All that good stuff you're supposed to do to stay healthy. That's what this whole series is about. Amen? Helping us to stay healthy and not have, we know we'll have these problems from time to time, for sure. But I'd like it be more than just Pastor Clark. When it pops up its ugly head, there's a lot of people, boom, 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 beating that sucker down. Remember that little game, that little head would come up and you pop it, pop, 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 pop. That's what that's all about. We got more people popping that mess down instead of letting it get up. We'll be successful, amen? Let's keep looking. Gossip is also seen as a cartoon. You remember Satan is seen as a cartoon? No big deal, it's a cartoon. Gossip is seen as a cartoon. Gossip is that sin in the church that you can get by with. It's a sin that probably all of us have done at one time or the other. Maybe not, but probably so. And also, so many sins make us feel bad. You know what I mean? We feel bad. We go before the Lord. We confess it because we know it was terrible. But gossip's this kind of thing. You can do it and not even feel bad. You can do it and be justified. You can do it and have a good feeling about yourself. It ain't a cartoon. It destroys. It destroys people's lives. Destroys ministries. How about this little saying? Lie, lie, lie. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Let me tell you something. I'd rather somebody hit me, that way I can see who hit me and chase them down and beat snot out of them. No, I'm sorry. Amen? Then to have somebody talk about you behind your back like a dirty dog, I tell you what, I would rather somebody hit me physically than to talk about me or try to ruin my character. You hear me? So I don't know where that came from. That's a bunch of bull, a little nursery rhyme. They need to get rid of that. Let's keep looking. It's really not that bad. That's what we think about gossip. It's really not that bad. I hope y'all are still hanging in here. It's really not that bad. That's what we think. That's what Satan wants us to think. He is diabolical. He is deceptive. He is a liar. That's his tactic. It's not really that bad. Sure it is. Keep looking. Gossip, what is it? Several things. It's a subtle form of vengeance. He that hides hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. It is a subtle form of vengeance. When you gossip about somebody, it is a clever way of getting even. It's a clever way of getting back at them. So clever. It's vengeance. Keep moving. Gossip. It is satanic terrorism in the church. Can you say that with me? It is satanic terrorism in the church. You know what I think of? It's Hezbollah shooting Katusha rockets behind the people, the civilians in South Lebanon. That's what gossip is to me in the church. It's a form of satanic terrorism. And then, you know, oh, civilians get killed. But yeah, don't you forget, sucker, you're shooting Katusha rockets behind those people. Are you hearing me? That's Satan's tactics. Satanic terrorism. He's shooting off those rockets of gossip to destroy us. And to hurt us, he that hates dissembles with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whoso whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall in it. You better be careful. He that rolls a stone, it'll roll right on him. So the Bible says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth works ruin. It's satanic terrorism. That's what gossip is in the church. Gossip usually includes half-truths. Gossip wouldn't be good if it did have some half-truths in it, would it? Say, I mean, come on, to be a good gossip, this is Gossip 101. You got to have some half-truths. Gossip can be even whole truths. It can be whole truths that you and I should keep our mouths shut. We've got no business repeating it whatsoever. What business is it yours or mine to repeat somebody else's mess? But a lot of times, it's just downright lies. Real good gossips, they get really good, and they get bold, and they can start downright lying. Had a man lie about me once. Many men lied about me. But one man lie to a faithful man of God who's in heaven now. And he not long ago, about 3-4 years ago, he lied and said, when this man told him I'd had an affair. Okay? And so this man who he told it to, my friend, laughed in his face. He went, ha! It's a bunch of bull. So when I went to see this man, visiting him, he said, somebody came the other day, said you had an affair. Here's what I told him. Was she pretty? Listen, friend. Listen, some people are so bold, they'll just doubt. They won't, hey, I've done enough wrong in my life without you having to make up something. You know what I mean? Come on. But people that get so bold in gossip, they'll lie like a dog. But Satan just doesn't need to use liars. He'll use half-truths, he'll use whole-truths that just shouldn't be repeated again. Okay? I've seen it happen. I can't get off too much, but he is so clever. I've had, over the years, people seeking counsel for Sister So-and-so, and they just start to spew all this mess that Sister So-and-so is going through. In Jesus' name! Keep your mouth shut. You ought not spew other people's mess. Do you understand that? Say, if you can't go to them, look them in the face, tell them what you're going to tell me or somebody else, you're a coward. It's horrible. Just let that be your rule. How would it feel if I just tell them to their face? Well, certain things you ought not tell people their face because it shouldn't even be said. It's hurtful. But if you can't do that and you got to hide and shoot katushas behind civilians, that's satanic terrorism. Okay? Prayer request. Be careful. A lot of times when we pray for people, we call so-and-so, well, we need to really pray for her. And we just unload, man. Why you do that? Don't do that. I'm not saying you do, but I know you do because I've been at this work a long time. We all do it. We have done it. Come on. We've asked prayer, and what we'd have been better off by doing is not saying all the things we said. Leave it to be an unspoken. Can God control things without you giving all the details? Say. Can he fix things without you informing him on everything that they did? Sure he can. So let's work on that real hard. Keep looking. Gossip means to speak against. Now, when I look at gossip, that's my definition. It means to speak against. Did you know never in the Bible are you and I encouraged to speak against? We're not encouraged to speak against. We're never encouraged. We're called in the Bible to encourage, amen? We're called in the Bible to bless. We're called in the Bible to lift up somebody else, not put them down. And gossip is to speak against. It's used in politics all the time. And I'm going to go ahead and say something. It's sort of ugly, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that is, you got two people running for Congress. You got Hudson, and you got, what's the other guy's name? Who? Buchanan? And I tell you, both of them claim to be Christians. I don't doubt that they both are Christians. They both seem to be good men. But yet they attack one another and say things about one another. And it's in flyers. It's on television. Well, that's just politics. That's just wrong. It's just wrong. We shouldn't do that. We name the name of Christ. If it means I'm running for something, I've got to treat somebody else like crap, excuse me. Then guess what? Gary can't run. Or I can't run that way. Don't mean you don't have differences of opinion, different views on things, but to attack somebody, and then it gets so pitiful. It's horrible. It's used in politics all the time. Shouldn't be used in the church of God. It tears down. Proverbs 17:4, a wicked doer gives heed to false lips. A liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. It hurts, man. Let's look at how many have had something said against you. Said against you. Said against you. Said against you. And it hurt. Say, it hurt. It hurt. People think they just say things. It doesn't hurt. Guess what? Sticks and stones may break their bones, but guess what? Words do hurt me. Words do hurt. They destroy our spirit. They destroy things inside of us. And we're going to see it in just a minute, what it does to us. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. Perverse lips, slandering. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. As they go down into the innermost parts of the belly, things that people have said about me over my life certainly hurt me more than any pain I suffered when I was playing sports. Things like that. You know, it does. It just hurts. It goes down deep inside. And a lot of people today aren't in church at all because they've been hurt, man. And we can call them whiners. They're just whiners. You know what? There's a lot of people that are hurting that aren't in church, and to be quite frank, what they went through, I don't blame them.
I thought my wife for a long time would never go back to church. It's not that she missed. She never did. But when we started this ministry, I didn't even know if she'd even go to church. Honestly, I didn't. But she was right there, praise God. I want to tell you something. It's a credit to you people and the grace of God that my wife is being healed. My wife is being healed because of hurtful things. Have you ever felt that way? Say, I just don't want to go back. I can't go back. It's just killing me. I can't. I hurt too bad. It's not just a bunch of whining. Oh, there is whining to it, sure. But it really does hurt. Look, it curses. James 3, 9, and 10. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Bless Jesus. Curse you. Terrible. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Say that last part with me. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. It's God saying, stop. Keep moving. Gossip is the acting out of a deeper problem. I believe this. These are my notes, so everything I put on this screen, I believe. Okay? Listen. Anger, bitterness, hatred, inferiority, low self-esteem, deep hurt. Deep hurt. And you want to blame it on Sister So-and-so. No, sir. No, ma'am. You're the one with the problem. And I'm not saying these aren't real problems. Anger, bitterness, low self-esteem. You've been hurt in the past. And it's so much easier to just... You've got to watch my words. Rain on people. Instead of dealing with your own life. Okay? Let's keep looking. Gossip. I'm telling you, put that woman back. This woman is getting angry. I can see it. Girls, you better watch out. She gonna pop your head. I can see it. Can't you see it? She's mad, baby. Gossip. Let's look at it. We're moving a little further. We're probably 10 to 15 minutes out from being done. Okay? And I'm trying to turn now the corner here in this message. I'm going to be Superman this morning. And I'm going to tell you about the kryptonite. I'm going to be Superman. And I'm going to tell you about the kryptonite. If you want to ruin Pastor Clark, talk about me like a dog. Start spreading gossip about me. It'll bring me to my knees. That's the kryptonite. Are you hearing me? Say. If you want to hurt your best friend, you say bad things about them. If you want to hurt your best friend, tell things to other people that they told you in confidence. It'll bring them to their knees. Are you hearing me? The kryptonite. Superman. He's great, wasn't he? But he had a weakness. And gossip, I've seen it. It'll do it every time. It works. That's why it's Satan's number one weapon, baby. Because it works. That's why we ought to hate it. We ought to abhor it. We ought to hate that it's in this place. And let me tell you what I do. I'll just tell you what I do. If somebody says something to me about somebody else, I go, I don't want to hear it. If they don't listen, I go, shut up. Okay? Usually I don't want to hear it works fine. Don't want to hear that mess. And here's another good way. Change the subject. Here's a little bit of advice. If they'll tell you something about somebody else, they'll talk about you like a dog too. Oh, I can't believe they said that about me. Well, shoot, they've been saying to everybody else, and you've been listening to them talk about other people. Why don't you think they'll talk about you? You're just crazy. Get real. Listen, the kryptonite. I got four things. Pop it up. What does gossip do? Four things that gossip does. Four things that gossip does. It paralyzes potential. Don't you remember with Superman when the kryptonite, he would all of a sudden... Yeah, that's what happens. It paralyzes potential. Who knows? Who knows what somebody could have been? But people talked about them. They were hurt and wounded by words. And they didn't amount to what they could have been for God. Because my words, your words, somebody else's words damaged them. It paralyzed them. A lot of people, I've said it before, they're not coming to church, they're not in ministry today. Why? Because they just don't want to ever do anything with a Christian again. That's how they feel. Have you ever met anybody like that? Say. I'm not saying that's right. That's Satan's tactics. Paralyzes potential. If we want this ministry to be a great ministry for God, the way you can paralyze it is run your mouth. Gossip. God won't bless that. That's a good way to run the preacher off, too. I'll tell you that right now. If you want to run your preacher off, that's a good tactic. You know what I'm saying? It works in any church. It paralyzes the potential of a ministry. Do you want our potential to be paralyzed, yes or no? I don't want our potential to be paralyzed. I have no idea. If you asked me today in August, did I think I'd have this kind of crowd here coming to Fellowship Church in the middle of the summer? And we're down a little bit today, but that's okay. But guess what? I'd have said, no way, there's no way, not in Inglewood, there ain't no way. We have potential. We can do great things for God. We have a great start. You want to ruin it? Start pulling out the kryptonite. Start becoming a terrorist and shooting katushas behind the civilians. Okay? Number two, it destroys vision. It destroys vision. Gossip destroys vision. It destroys the vision of a ministry. I'll be honest with you. I am not going to work my tail off and try to build a facility down in Rotunda, Florida to house a bunch of people that's going to gossip. I can find a better way to make a living than that. Amen? We don't have that problem. I don't see that problem at all in this work. But I'm sure we're normal. Yeah, there's some of us. Got to be. Come on. We ain't got our glorified bodies yet. Amen? But it will destroy the vision of this ministry if we allow that to happen. That's the inside job that Satan does. I mean, what does Paul say? I think it was Paul says, you did run well. You did run well. What hindered you? Running's fine, but you need to keep running well because it'll destroy your vision. It'll destroy somebody else's vision. Individuals' visions are destroyed of God, of the church, of their faith, of all this kind of stuff because of someone gossiping, of future dreams and plans that they had, that ministries have. It just kills it. Of ministries in general, it just destroys vision. And what does the Bible say? Say it with me if you know it. Without vision, the people what? Perish. And Satan knows that. He can destroy your vision. Next, it ruins relationships. It ruins relationships. This is a no-brainer. Have you seen what Roger's done? Look. It was red. It's losing color, isn't it? Say. It's getting weaker. And that's what gossip does. It makes you, instead of being red hot for God, makes you weaker. It ruins relationships. This again is a no-brainer. Pop it up. A froward man sows strife. A whisper separates who? Say it to me. Chief friends. Let's look. He that covers a transgression seeks love. Did you know it's a loving thing when you know that somebody has done something awful or they've got problems in their life? It's a loving thing to cover that, not to blab it. I'm not saying you're covering up their sin. Be sure their sins will find them out. But it's not your job to blab it. It's your job as a loving Christian to cover it. Isn't that almost opposite of what we do say? Well, they did it, so it was right for me to tell it. It was wrong. Slanderer, false accuser, speak evil, devil. Diabolical. That's what the word means. Keep looking. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit does what? Conceals the matter. Yeah, but I'll be accused of covering up. I ain't talking about doing something illegal, crazy people. I'm talking about just everyday stuff that we use to accuse people. Come on. It ruins relationships. It erodes trust terribly. Just stop right there. It erodes trust terribly. Somebody recently asked me to be a part of a committee to help a situation. Okay? And so me being the kind of helpful guy I want to be, said, well, sure, maybe I can help. Until I realized, who's on the committee? There's certain people on the committee that I wouldn't walk across the street to work with because I have no trust in them because they're a gossip. I'm not going to spend my time working or trying to help and hook up with people that tear other people down. Does that make any sense to anybody than just me? That might not seem very Christian. Great, then I guess I'm not very Christian. I'm going to spend my time knowing best I can, working with people I think that are sincere, that have a pure heart. If you're involved in something, you really mean it and need to get right with God. So no, I ain't on it. Next, thinking you're superior. It ruins relationships because gossip is thinking you're superior and the other person is inferior. That never works. Did you know that? I'm better than you are. It just never works. And that's what gossip does. And Satan uses this. He uses these two extremes, superior, inferior. Superior, inferior. What do I mean? Look at it. Pop it up. Superiority comes across as a form of hypocrisy, and that keeps people from coming to church. Are you hearing me? We're superior. We're better than you. We're hypocrites. Good. Keep it. I don't want it. Okay? It repels. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. That's why I ain't on the committee, because I ain't going to meddle with them. Okay? Ain't happening. Inferiority is the other thing Satan uses. A person who has been gossiped about, talked down to, spoken against, they become broken, and that kind of person retreats from the church. I can't go. You know, I can't go back there. And you might not think, and I might not think, that that's going to fly and people need to get over it. But still, it really is a reality. Satan uses that. Finally, it sabotages service. Gossip sabotages service. A couple of y'all are really looking at me like I'm weird today. Are y'all all right? Y'all came to church to get encouraged, didn't you? And I'm beating up on you like you're a bunch of gossips. Hey, I think the time to preach a message is now before we get there. Amen? I tell you what. Listen, it sabotages service. When you know that you're being talked about like a dog, it sort of makes it a little difficult to keep serving. It sort of makes it a little hard to keep serving. I know we're supposed to keep on and fight the good fight of faith and all that kind of stuff. But when your brothers and sisters are shooting the tar out of you, it makes it a little rough. Amen? When you got Katushas coming at you, it's hard to hand out tracts. You know what I'm saying? It's just rough. It's hard. It sabotages service for Jesus Christ. A lot of people were doing great. And they quit because somebody hurt them really, really bad. Gossip is the devil's anthrax. That's what gossip is. Because see, it's under the radar. You can't really see it that much. And it's okay because it was the truth. It was half-truth. And it just destroys and kills people. Let's keep looking. Can you say that with me? Help me now. Come on. Church hurt hurts. One more time. Come on. Church hurt hurts. It really does hurt. And we're nearing the end. I want you to stay with me, though. So far, I've just talked and rattled on all this morning. But I'd like to help you right now. Can I? Here we go. Jesus took our infirmities. Would you say that with me? Jesus took our infirmities. There are whole denominations out there that teach that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took your sickness. So if you're ever sick, there's something wrong with you. And you need to give that to Jesus, or you need to get right with Jesus, or pray to Jesus, or have faith in Jesus, and all your sickness will go away. But guess what? That's not Bible. It's not reality. Do I believe Jesus can heal? Say it with me. Yes! Do I believe Jesus is going to heal everybody's sickness? Yes or no? No! And one thing I know is this, if that's the kind of theology you have, let me tell you something. One day Jesus is going to be asleep at the wheel, because you're going to die. And last time I checked, most people die because they get sick. Maybe you'll be a lucky one who gets run over by a bus or a train or something. I don't know. But the point is, listen to me. Listen to me. I know this. I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that stuff. I do know this, though. Jesus did take our infirmities. I do know that. But I want to tell you the kind of things he healed me of and keeps healing me of. That is hurts. That is spiritual problems and weaknesses that I have. Jesus took those infirmities. And I want to tell you something. If you've been hurt, you can be made whole. If you've been hurt, you can be made whole. You can be made whole. Friend, I want to tell you that today. If you're sick, if you've got a disease, I can't say for sure you're going to be made whole. I can't say that, but I can say today on authority of the Word of God, you can be made whole. From this slander, from this false accusing that's taken place, from somebody saying horrible, wicked things that hurt you, Jesus took our infirmities, that it might be fulfilled by, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. Okay? Let me tell you something about Jesus. I want you to just see this. This is going to be a little blunt. He took your infirmities. He knows what it is to have people talk about him. Give him your pain. People attack Jesus. They still attack Jesus today. We just had a movie, Da Vinci Code, that did nothing but rip on our Savior, rip on our Savior, rip on our Savior. Look at what they said about Jesus. He's been called a bastard. when he was a little boy growing up, oh yeah, there goes the little boy whose mama got, you know, pregnant with the Holy Ghost. Uh-huh, sure. That's what they called him. You're living in another world if you don't think they called your Savior. And I don't like to say the word, but they called him a bastard. Hey, if you've been called that, he took that for you.
Amen. He took that for me, man.
How about this? I know in films of the past years, he's been called a homosexual. I don't know if it happened during the time he was on this planet. It wouldn't surprise me what devils do or what devils say, because he hung out with the men, right? If you've been called that, let Jesus take that. An adulterer. Not the sinless Son of God, but somebody who, you know, knocked up Mary Magdalene, excuse me, and had a child in the prairie of Zion. Oh, it's kind of bull. He took that. He took that. Are you hearing me today say? You're saying, but they said this. I'm going to say, look what they said about him. He took that. He took your infirmities. They called him a devil. They said he's Beelzebub. He has a devil. They said he's a drunk. He is a wine bibber. That's what they said about him. They said he was a fake. You're not real. You're not the real thing. That had to hurt, don't you think, say? You're the Son of the living God. You leave heaven's portals to come here and save the planet. You're a fake. You're a fraud. You're not real. Maybe people said that about you. You're not sincere. You're phony. That's what my stepdad used to tell my mother. You don't have real faith. You've not been saved. You're not a Christian. You're not this. You're not that. Maybe people have poured that on in your life. Blasphemer. They called him a blasphemer. You know what that means? That means you don't speak for God. You speak against God. You don't speak for your father. You're against your father. I had several people, and again, I'm going to say it straight up, had several people that said that my wife was against her father and that we were trying to take over a former ministry. And she didn't do anything but love that man with all her heart. And words hurt, and that was the most hurtful thing. You can call people sluts and this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something. But you start to say they don't love their family, they don't love their father. Let me tell you something. It cuts so deep, probably goes with you to the grave. But let me tell you something. Listen to me. Listen. He took it. Amen? Say, are you with me or no? He took it. He took it. He took it. They said that about him too, baby. Okay? A liar. They called him a liar. I think what really hurt Jesus also when he's on the cross, I'm sure somebody said, well, they did say this, you saved others, you can't save yourself. I'm sure somebody pointed over there and said, oh, everybody's left you except your poor, pitiful mama. She's over there and one measly disciple, John. Everybody else has turned their back on you. Are you hearing me today? Thank you, Jesus, for taking our infirmities. Amen? You can be whole. Do I say all the hurt is going to just quit hurting? No. But you can say, hallelujah, roll it on Jesus. Amen? Roll it on me. Roll it on me. Roll it on me. I can take your pain. Amen? I can do it. I can do it. And he'll do it. And he's done it in my life. Oh, it still hurts, especially when I talk about it. But let's keep looking. Keep moving. How do I keep doing this, preacher? If he took my infirmities, just another scripture. The Spirit of the living God, the Bible says, helps our infirmities. Look at the scripture. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray, for as we ought. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart, he knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit wants you to be healed. And we know all things work together for good. He can even take the slop and the mess and the slander and the false truth. He can take all that and he can work it out together for your good to them that love God. You be real. You be the real deal. You don't be phony like other people. Listen to me. You can get healing. You can be healed today. Boy, I love that. That's my favorite part of the message. You get healed, man. Don't you love healing? Say. People ask you, if Fellowship Church people get healed, you tell them, yeah, amen. I'll take that spiritual deep healing really any day over a sickness being healed. One day I'm going to die, but I sure would like to not live every day with this pain. I'd like to be able to let Jesus Christ take that, amen? And he can do that. Last thing is this. Gossip, and I'm done this morning. How do you stop gossiping? If you're a gossip today in this building, and there's no reason there's not. Sure there is. And you're listening on radio. Listen, how do you stop gossiping? Here you go. 4 points. Number one, No scripture, just plain English. Face your problem. Your problem. It is your problem. It is your problem. It is not my problem. It is not the person you're talking about problem. It ain't your mama's problem. It is your problem. You need to face it. Be a man. Be a woman. And just come to the place where you say, I'm sick of running my mouth and living my life like this. I don't want that anymore. Face your problem. Number two, accept responsibility. I did it. I do it. I am wrong. I said it. Nobody put a gun in my head and make me speak them things I talk about people about. I'm the one that's wrong. I take responsibility. It's my fault. I, not them, 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 they, boom, 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 uh-uh. I did it. That's if you want to be healed. So if you want to stop, boom. Number three, and before we get to the cleansing, ask yourself if you really want to stop this vicious behavior. Ask yourself, do I want to stop being a terrorist used by Satan, shooting Katushas behind the civilians, hiding, ducking and hiding? Do I want to really stop this vicious behavior? And if your answer is yes, 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 listen, I hope it is today. Friend, why can't it stop? Can it stop? Say. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you did this at the church you were at before. Up north, down south, out west, in the east, it don't matter to me. We don't want that mess here. Amen? Say it with me. Amen? Come on. Hey, we don't want that mess here. Well, that's who I am. Good. Take it somewhere else if you can't get rid of it. We want you to be healed, but you got to stop. You got to say, I want to stop this vicious behavior. Number four, sincerely ask God for forgiveness. Sincerely ask God for forgiveness. Sincerely ask God for forgiveness. Tell Him, be sincere. Oh, if you're fake, if you're phony, Satan's going to laugh. You be sincere. You tell Him, I am sorry, Lord. I am wrong. I did it. I don't want to live the rest of my life, whatever it is on this planet you have for me, running other people down, cutting people down, saying things like, oh, make my mouth never to say things like that. I don't want to say it anymore. Tell Him. Finally, I wish I could say you could go and fix the damage if you're a gossip that you've done. But the answer is you can't. You can't. Roger's going to put something up on the screen. Put it up, Roger. It's a feather. For you to fix the damage that gossip does, it would be like this, taking a feather pillow and standing on the corner of 776 and Placida Road and having somebody with a fan, and you take that feather pillow and you open it up and you just shake it. You shake that pillow. And the feathers fly everywhere. For you to fix gossip is like for you to go pick up every feather. You ain't going to pick up every feather, are you? Say. There's no way. I thought about doing it here today, but I knew the school would kill me. We'd have feathers 6 months from now, wouldn't we? That's what gossip does. You can't fix it. You can stop it. You can't fix it, but you can stop it. Amen? Somebody comes to you, wants to gossip, you say, no, sir, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to listen to you. No. I'll try my best to be your friend, but if you keep mouthing like that, we're going to part company. I don't hang out with terrorists. Amen? Little ugly today. Did y'all survive? Amen. Do we have another thing, Roger? God's forgiveness, if we're gossipers, that's where it ends. God's forgiveness is where it ends. That God's forgiven. You can't fix it all. Oh, it might be nice if you could try, go to talk to somebody. I don't disagree with that. But don't dilute yourself into thinking you can tear people down and go back and fix it later. You can never fix it. Had breakfast this week with wonderful friends of mine. Been in the ministry for years. And she says she went and got her hair cut the other day. And she's trying to be a witness and tell people about the Lord and invite them to church. And as soon as they said, my name, the person didn't want to hear any more about our church. Because somebody had poisoned this woman. Gossip poisons. Now, if that woman's not a Christian, somebody's got hell to pay. We don't need to do that. Amen? It's crazy. And you just can't fix it. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for listening.